In Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 22 through 24, Paul writes that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In Mark chapter 5, we have the account of the man at Gadarenes that was possessed by an unclean spirit. And after Jesus had cleansed him, the man had begged Jesus to allow him to come with him. But Jesus had told him, no, you're not going to go with me, but you are going to go home. You're going to tell your friends and your family the wonderful things that the Lord had done for him and what compassion was shown to him in his healing. What we typically see in this account is a miracle. But there's something more than just a miracle that happened here. In this account, Jesus reveals the very greatest service offered to his call. What we find here is a life that was transformed. And he wanted this man to go and speak of his transformation. This is the only unanswerable argument in Christianity. Every doctrine, every tenet of faith can be denied. But it is folly to argue against a righteous life. What do you consider as a Christian the most essential factor in your life? Is it the transformation that you went through from the moment you obeyed the gospel to who you are this very moment? Paul, in Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, he told the brethren there, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hopefully, from the moment you obeyed the gospel, you've seen a drastic change in your life. You are more than likely acting and behaving differently than what you once did. When you look and read in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 7 through 9, Paul, he talks about his transformation. Now, I'm not going to read these verses to you. You've got them there in front of your Bible. But you look at Paul's transformation. You look at his mission on that way to Damascus and who he was and what he was preparing himself to do. He was getting ahead in the sect of the Pharisees. He was the cream of the crop. He was on top. And yet here he tells us that all that gain he counts now as loss. And he counts it as loss because of Christ. He counts all those things that he once sought after as done. And through that, he might win Christ and found him in him. That's transformation. That is how we become from one set of standards that we wholeheartedly believed and lived in and changed to a new standard. Most Christians agree that this transformation takes place when Christ lives within us. But the real question that we need to ask ourselves is when and how Christ enters into a man. The when is explained in Paul's letter to the Colossians. In chapter 1 and verses 27 and 28, Paul said, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, when the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." The how we find in Galatians 3, verse 27. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You see, Jesus enters in to any person who has obeyed that form of doctrine in which one puts on Christ. Now, he doesn't literally go inside us, but he's there. When we strive to walk in the newness of life, Christ is in us. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 reminds us, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new." You know, there's a lot of ideas. If we were to every Sunday visit a different church, a different denomination, we will see all kinds of things. And there are a lot of things that seem good and sound good and are very easy to do. But what you end up with is a whitewashing that only spruces up the exterior. You know, there's a story about a preacher who came to a new church. And he was just tired, and he walked up to the church and on a Friday, and he looked at the church, and he sat there and he said, "Boy, this building is in rough shape. It needs painting." And so he took it upon himself to go paint this church building. So he went back in the storage shed and he found 2 gallons of white paint. Well, he knew 2 gallons of white paint was not going to paint that whole building. And so he poured those 2 gallons in a big bucket and then poured water in it to thin it out. And on Saturday, he commenced to paint, and he worked all day painting that building. And he stepped back after he was done in this beautiful building, and he thought, "Wow, that really looks great." And so he went home, and that night a thunderstorm came. And the next morning he comes to the church building, and it looks just as bad as it did on Friday morning. All the paint had washed off. And he sat there and he looked up to the heavens. He said, "Lord, why did you do this to me?" And God responded to him and said, "Repaint and thin no more." But you see, that is a whitewashing of the message. And that's what so much of the outside world has done to us. When we whitewash, we don't get rid of the decay. We don't get rid of the loose chips and the old paint. Christ's dwelling in us is a direct correlation to the measure of his word that is accepted and obeyed. In Colossians 3, verse 16, Paul said to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. When we feast on God's word, we share Christ's nature. Philippians 2, 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Jesus Christ." This spiritual likeness can only come by seeing Jesus as he's revealed in Scripture. If we are to mirror Jesus, then we need to learn to do everything about him. You know, it's amazing how actors will sit there and study parts, especially if they are portraying a real-life character. And they dig into the research and they try to find out everything they can possibly find out about that person. They study their mannerisms. They study their speech, the way they talk, how they act, their movements, so they can portray them in the best possible light. That's exactly what we have to do with Christ. We have to study Him. We have to learn about Him. Then we can be that mirror image if we make it a part of our life. We won't know what Christ would do unless we walk with Him each and every day. You know, our transformation results when the spiritual man is enlightened. And, you know, that term enlightened has, to me, sometimes a bad connotation, because of the way man has used the term enlightened. From the 1600s to the 1700s, the era of enlightenment in which the people had decided to go along, to get along, and to set aside religion and things like this and to accept anything that comes down the road. But as Christians, we are enlightened with the Word, though. For Jesus said in John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. That's enlightenment. We are to be exemplary, that we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse world, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, Philippians 2, verse 15. We are illuminated when we receive, without reservation, the word of God. And when we are illuminated, we become the light. When you were baptized, what changed in you? Did anything at all change? Did you feel any different? I know most of us could probably think that we felt like coming out of the water that the whole weight of the world was taken off of our shoulders. We found a peace that we didn't know before. But hopefully, after that moment in our life, our whole objective in life changed. Every time I drive to one of the stores, I kind of wish there was something a little closer that I'd go get my lumber and things like this to where I don't have to drive down 25 or drive over to Simpsonville and get into the madness. But have you noticed driving back roads that used to be, you might pass three or four cars? Now you're sitting in line, a long line of cars, and you're getting frustrated. And you wonder, how can this be? Well, man has become so temporal because they're resting their hopes on things that they have, things they can touch, things they can buy. When we place, as Christians, our emphasis on something different than making money or leisure or thinking about me, we focus on the image of Christ and heaven. Hebrews 12 and verse 2 calls Jesus our finisher and author of our faith. And if you be risen in Christ, Paul writes in Colossians 3 and verses 1 and 2, seek those things which are above, which Christ sits on the right hand of God. Then he tells us to set our affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Why? Because we are dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God. So we asked ourselves the question, do our goals in life show the change? And if it doesn't, then there's a change that needs to be made. You know, this morning, talk about Galatians 2 and verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ. In that verse, you see Paul's transformation. You see what actually took place. When you go back and you look in the book of Acts and you look at Paul's journeys, every place that you look at Paul, you see a transformation taking place. Would Paul have been able to stand before Herod and them and proclaim, even to the chance of declaring that he was a Roman citizen, that he was to be sent to Caesar for judgment, knowing what that would mean? And yet Paul boldly stood there and declared all these things. But God was with Paul every step of the way. When murder was in the hearts of men and they wanted to waylay the soldiers, Roman soldiers, sneaked Paul out in the dark to get him away from the threat. Paul's journey was far from over. And when you see Paul sitting in prison writing his letters, and you see the transformation, the lack of fear, you cannot help but see how Christ shined through Paul with every word he wrote. And this is exactly how our life should be. That Christ should be reflected as we walk before men. Greater than any sermon any preacher could ever preach is the exhibited transformed life of every Christian in the public realm. That is the greatest sermon that can ever be preached, is by how we are each and every day. Your transformation is important to God. Our transformation will change the way we see life. God will reward us that transformed life. And when we start thinking back of a life that we once lived, think on what the promises are. And if you want to give up what you have done in your life. If there is anyone here this evening who is in need of the prayers of the congregation, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. We pray that your life will continue, each and every day of your life, to continue to be transformed, to change for the better. If there's anyone that has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.